Would you bow your heads, please? I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, character Christianity, or how to develop restraint, but I'm going to call it character Christianity. The word character comes from the word to cut or to engrave. Each time an act is performed, a deeper groove is made until the groove gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And listen to this statement right here. Until your action will leave your will and go to your reflexes. Let me say it again. You can do the same thing over and over and over again so much that in response to a certain stimulus, your action will leave your will. You won't say, I will do this, but it'll be in the subconscious and it'll be in your reflexes. Illustration. Those of us who lived a while longer than others, remember the old dirt roads. You hardly ever see any old-fashioned dirt roads, and you've never seen a dirt road till you see a black dirt road in North Texas. And you've never seen mud till you see North Texas mud, black as midnight, and most of the roads back in my day were dirt roads, especially roads outside of town. Usually had one two-lane paved highway from town to town, but all the other roads were dirt roads, black dirt roads. And a rain would come, and the first car that would go through there was lucky if it made it. It really was. But now the second car made it a bit easier, and the third car a bit easier, and the fourth car, and each car that went through made the rut a little deeper. And so finally, if you'd stay in the rut, you'd be okay. But you get outside the rut, and you have a problem. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hiles, I'm just in a rut. Good, stay in it. Happy people are people in ruts. Oh, I'm tired of doing the same old thing. People that are the happiest are people that do the same old things. Things they're supposed to do and stay in a rut. You see, each time that a certain stimulus, now follow me carefully, each time that a certain stimulus comes your way, you respond the same way to that stimulus. And after a while, you keep responding and keep responding. And I've used this illustration many times. But please, let folks back over here, there's some talking back here all night long. I've waited a long time to say anything. But I want you to listen to me now very carefully. I don't mean to be unkind, but I don't want folks behind you not to be able to hear. And so I've waited a long time to say anything, but I expect you to listen to what I'm saying while I'm up here preaching. And so I'm saying that each time this certain stimulus comes to you, it is a certain response. Now, first you force that response, and then you force it again, 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 until finally it becomes in the subconscious, and you respond by reflex. As I started to say a while ago, I have seen many times I've been driving down the street, and all of a sudden the light will turn, and the light's on amber. Well, amber's my favorite color, so I always go through on amber. But if the light begins to change, and maybe I'm talking, or maybe I'm looking for a restaurant, and all of them, glad you're listening this morning. So the light begins to change, and before I know it, I jam the brakes, and every time I jam the brakes, I do what? I throw my arm out. Why do I throw my arm out? I'm trying to keep Becky from hitting the windshield. Becky's 37 years old. She hasn't been in my car in years. But she's our oldest daughter. And now what happened? Because when Becky was a little tyke, we were driving together, I'd slam and do that. And slam the brake 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 and do that. Now why? Because I was acting on reflex. I did not say, oh my, the light's changing. I've got to slam the brake. So I must be careful to keep Becky from hitting the windshield. And so I must put my arm out. By that time, Becky's already out through the windshield. And so it gets in the reflex. I've told you about this. One day, years ago, I was commanded by headquarters to go to the grocery store and get some bread and some milk. And so I went to the grocery store. I got in the car. I forgot to tell the car where to go. So I drove down Ridgeway till I got to Columbia. I turned right. Oh, by the way, I was going to A&P. Used to be up here on Ridge Road in Munster. There's a furniture store there now where A&P used to be. I was going to A&P about 5 or 6 blocks from our house. But I got in the car. I drove down to Columbia. I turned right on Columbia. I drove all the way up Columbia till I got to May. Turned right on May. And then went till I got to Calumet. Turned left on May. Got to Calumet. Turned right on Calumet. Got to Kane. Turned left on Kane. And came down to the alley over here and turned right, cross over here, and parked in front of the church. And it dawned on me, where was I going? I was going to A&P, 6 blocks away, to get some bread and milk. Now, why? I forgot to tell the car. That's the only way the car knew to go. And by reflex, I came to church. And now, that's what character is. Character is when you do right because you're supposed to do right so many times and respond to the same reflex over and over again until you instinctively and by reflex do that which is right. My mama used to take a beer bottle. My daddy provided her with them, and plenty of them. And my mama would take a beer bottle, and she'd put some water in that beer bottle. Pardon me. And she would take that, and she'd say, "Son, I want to give you a bottle of beer." And I'd say, "No, no." And my mother would say, "Oh, son, you want a bottle of beer?" "No, no, no." Every day we went through the same ritual. "Here's a bottle of beer." "No, here's 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 a bottle of beer." "No." Until now, I rarely ever drink root beer. Because, now why? It's in the reflex. If somebody said to me, "You want a bottle of beer?" "No, no, no." "Want a bottle of beer?" "No, want a bottle of beer?" "No." You know why? Because that's character Christianity. It's in the reflex. It's in the subconscious. My mother used to do this. She used to play like she was the the clerk at the store, and I was the customer. And I'd go buy something, and I'd give her a dollar. And mother'd say, "Okay, that'll be 35 cents. I'd give her a dollar. And she'd give me 75 cents instead of 65 cents change. And I would say, "You gave me too much change." And mother'd do it again. I'd say, "You gave me too much change." And mother'd do it again. "You gave me too much change." Mother do it again. "You gave me too much change." Mother do it again. "You gave me too much change." Until by reflex, it's awful hard for me to be crooked because by reflex, mama messed me up. I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania preaching and got up on a Saturday morning. No, Wednesday morning, bright and early. Got to the airport before daybreak. In fact, nothing was open except one little gift shop. And I decided to call Miss McKinney and tell her what time I'd arrive at the airport. I had a change of flight. And so I went to the payphone. I put a dime in those days, put a dime in it, and the dial tone didn't come. And so I decided to hit the machine, you know how you do, hit the phone, and wham, hit the phone, still no dial tone. But dimes started coming out, and they came 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 out. I did exactly what you'd do. I looked to see if anybody was looking. But by reflex, I took that money to that gift shop. Gift shop fellow probably kept it. But why? Now, because you too much money. You gave me too much change. You gave me too much change. You gave me too much change. And that's what's lacking in rearing our children. We're supposed to rear our children by repetition until they respond to the same stimulus and respond to that stimulus again and again and again and again and again to where they have done it so many times it works its way in the reflex from the will. Character Christianity doesn't have to decide to do right. Character Christianity does right by reflex. Character Christianity is honest by reflex. Character Christianity does what it ought to. That life is that way. That's the way you learned how to tie your shoes. Remember the first time you tried to tie a shoe? Remember? And you tried and you tried and you tried. I can still remember the first time I learned to tie my shoe. I did it in the second grade. No, it was the 10th grade, I think. And but Mrs. Skelton was my teacher. And I said, I tied my shoe. And she brought me up in front of the whole class and honored me in front of the whole class because I learned to tie my shoe. Now, the honest truth is, thank you very, very much. But the honest truth is, that's the way you learn how to walk. When you first you put one foot here and you put no, but after a while you just walk naturally. I did not say when I came in tonight. Let's see, I better put this left foot out like this, then shift the weight from the left foot to the right foot, then put the right foot down and lift up the left foot and shift the weight from the left foot to the right foot. I didn't say that. I just walked in by reflex. Why? Because it's worked its way in. Years ago, when Dave was a boy, he went to Munster High School. Didn't have a Hammond Baptist High School then. So he went to Munster High School. One night he said, "Dad, would you go to a basketball game with me?" I said, "Son, I'm writing a book. It's that book, the Howells Church Manual. I'm writing a book. I've got to dictate the book tonight." Dave said, "Oh, come on, Dad. You haven't been to a game with me in a long time. Go with me to the game." I said, "Son, I can't do it." He prevailed, and I went with him on one bargain. I could take my dictaphone machine with me. I'd dictate some of that book. I took a big old file with me and took the dictaphone machine, walked into Munster High School gymnasium to the basketball game. Dave said, "Dad, don't embarrass me now. But don't folks will think you're broadcasting the game. Don't put that thing up in front of your mouth." And I said, "Son, I'll only do it during the prayer." During the prayer. What? Reflex. And so I was careful. I just dictated. I'd go to the restroom during the timeout and dictate, you know, in the restroom. And Dave said, "Now, Dad, don't embarrass me." Well, we were behind. It's sort of a boring game. We were about 10 points behind or 9 points behind. And just a few minutes left to play. So we made a basket. Now we're 7 points behind. Made another basket. Now we're 5 points behind. One of our fellows intercepted a pass, made a basket. Now we're 3 points behind. Hey, I put my dictaphone machine down and put my file down and got up on the edge of my seat. And boy, a fellow kid named Bobby Stout. He got the ball and shot the ball, and we were 1 point behind. We had less than a minute to play. They had the ball. They tried to freeze the ball and keep us from getting it. So the game was out, run out the clock, and we fought frantically to get it. And with just about 10 seconds to play, we got the ball, and we dribbled down the court, and the fella shot the ball with 1 second to play, and the ball was in the air when the final gun went off, and... Want to hear the rest of it? And so, swish, the ball went through the basket, and we won. And before I knew it, I jumped up and I said, "Well, amen!" And Dave pulled his coat around like this and said, "Dad, let's go home." Now, what was it? It was in the reflex. In the reflex. I mean, I didn't know to say whoopee or hot dog or rah-rah. It was amen. Every time something good happened to me, it was amen. It was amen. It was amen. Now, why? It's in the reflex. Now, listen, that's the way you ought to say no to temptation. And that's the way you ought to say, do that which is right. Now, it's so much easier. But how do you do it? You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You say amen like I have for year after year after year after year. You'll say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what you'll do. Why? It's in the reflex. Life is that way. Walking, eating, tying your shoes, anything. There's a war veteran who was he was out of the army, just gotten out. Went down to the store, got a big sack of potatoes, and didn't buy potatoes those days in a sack that was tied at the top. You put potatoes in the big paper sack, and was carrying that big paper sack of potatoes right across a busy street. And somebody thought they'd put a trick on him. They said, "Tension!" He put the potatoes down. Potatoes went all over the street. And he stood there in attention. Why? Because tension means stand there. That's what it means. And to this day, I was at the airport not long ago, and I saw an officer in officer's uniform and saluted the crazy nut. I've been out of the Army for 125 years. But you see that little bar up there? You salute and curse it by instinct. Glad to have you back with us, fellas. And but you see, it's in the reflexes. Now, that's the way it ought to be about life and about good and Christianity. Epictetus said, "If you would make a thing a habit, do it." Horace Mann said, "Habit is a cable. We weave a thread of it each day, and it becomes so strong we cannot break it. And that's the way it is about good things or bad things. You can do the wrong thing so often until you respond wrongly and you cannot break the cable. But it's a wonderful thing when a Christian does the right thing in response to the proper stimulus until he weaves that thread and has a habit, and by reflex and by the subconscious, he does that which he ought to do. Samuel Johnson said, "The change of habits is in general too small to be felt until they're too strong to be broken." Let me give you four statements here. One is, in life, decide what you want to be. Number two, decide what you will have to do to become what you want to be. Number three, force yourself to do it over and over and over again. Charles Sumner said there are three things a person needs to have character. He said one is backbone. Two is backbone. Three is backbone. And so what you do, decide what you want. Let me tell you something. Some of you preacher boys, you want to be a great preacher someday. You're not going to be a great preacher breaking the rules at Howells Anderson College. You'll break the rules all your life. I mean, you've got to decide what you want to be. Now listen, if you're going, once you decide what you want to be, then you decide what you've got to do to become what you want to be. Then once you have decided what you've got to do to become what you want to be, force yourself to do it. Force yourself, and one day it will take you out of the will and in the reflexes. I think it's wonderful for a person to do right because he decides to do right. But after you said, "I'll do right, I'll do right, I'll do right, I'll do right, I'll do right, I won't do wrong, I won't do wrong, I won't do wrong, I won't do wrong, I won't do wrong," until in any given instance the reflex will do right or the reflex will not do wrong, and that's what you call character Christianity. Now let's apply that to Christianity for a while. Let's apply that to going to church. Did you know you're supposed to be in church every Sunday morning? Every Sunday morning. Did you know you're supposed to be in church every Sunday evening? And did you know you're supposed to be in church every Wednesday evening? Now, when you get that in your reflexes, I never do get up on Sunday morning and say, "Well, I go to church this morning." Because I've been going, Sunday morning, I go to church. In fact, every morning I go to church, but Sunday morning, I go to church. It's Sunday, go to church, Sunday, go to church, Sunday, go to church, Sunday, go to church. I never say on Sunday night, "Should I go to church tonight or not?" By the way, there are no two standards. God does not have one standard for me, another standard for you. If that's the case, it's Catholicism, where the priest has some access to God the members don't have. I have no access to God that you cannot have. I have no access to this book that you cannot have. And I have no commands from God that I'm supposed to do that you're not supposed to do. And if I'm supposed to walk through those doors when the hinges squeak, you're supposed to walk through those doors when the hinges squeak. And the reason that you don't is because it's never gotten in the subconscious, in the reflex. It's Sunday morning, I go to Sunday school, I stay for the church service. It's Sunday night, I go to church. It's Wednesday night, I go to church. It's Sunday morning, I go to church. It's Sunday night, I go to church. It's Wednesday night, I go to church. You do it long enough, you'll just do it. That's all there is to it. Your car won't go anywhere else but to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's what you call character Christianity. Some of you come to church, you decide every Sunday morning, "Should I go or not? Every Sunday night, should I go or not? Every Wednesday night, should I go or not?" And that's, now you're saved. Listen to me, you're saved. But character Christianity says, "It's Sunday morning, I go to church." Character Christianity means that when you get paid, you give one-tenth to God. You get paid again, you give one-tenth to God. You get paid again, you give one-tenth to God. You get paid again, you give one-tenth to God. You get paid again, you give one-tenth to God. Until you've done it so many years and done it so regularly, it'll just be a habit and the reflex will take over and you won't have to decide to tithe every Sunday. It's a tragic thing when you've got to decide to do right every time you have the chance to do right. The more decisions that you make, the more likely you are to do wrong. So if you can take this thing out of the decision process, so you don't decide, but by reflex you tithe, by reflex you go to church, by reflex you do right, you're a character Christian then, and that's what God wants you to be. Take the matter of temptation. When temptation comes, you say, "I'm tempted to do wrong, but I'm going to do right." Now that's good.
But if you are going to have to decide every time you're tempted whether or not to do right or wrong, you're going to end up doing wrong. Now you listen to me. Human beings do not do anything 100% of the time right. The best baseball player bats about 350 or 360. That means he makes outs two out of three times. There's nothing that the human being, no decision that he makes, but what sometime he'll make the wrong decision. But if you can make the right decision on purpose, make the right decision on purpose until it works inside to the subconscious, and you by reflex, that means you can always do it. Listen, you will never take another drink as long as you live if you'll get it in your reflexes to say, no beer, no beer, no beer, no beer, no beer. You've had your last drink. You've cursed your last word. If you can overcome cursing and overcome it and overcome it and overcome it and overcome it till finally it'll work its way to the inside and you won't decide whether or not to curse because the reflex will keep you from cursing and the reflex will cause your response. Now, that's what you call character Christianity, and that's real Christianity when you have done right and 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 done right until you can't do wrong because the subconscious takes over and you do that which is right. You do that driving. You learn it by doing the same thing over and over and over again. Take the matter of helping others. Every time somebody comes and needs some help. I'm not talking about beggars. I have no use for beggars. I'm talking about beggars. Every time you see a need. Not somebody comes and says, I want a handout. I don't like that. But every time you see a need, you can help people and fill that need so much till that can become in the reflex. And you see a need, you'll fill it. A need that you can fill. You'll say, how can I fill that? How can I fill that? Let me give you an example. For all these years, and I'm not a good Christian, but I tell you what, I've got character Christianity in some areas of my life, and this is one of them. When I see a need, by reflex, I try to fill that need if I can. Several months ago, something crossed my path of a preacher friend of mine in another state who has a need. It's a big need. And I can fill that need. Now, if I fill that need, I'm going to part with something that I like. But I'm willing to give her the cost enough if somebody needs him. And Miss Colston and I both talked about it and made the decision together. But now, I'm about to part with something that I like. It's not anything that I ever wanted, but it's something I like, and I'm about to part with it, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. But there's somebody that's very dear to me in a distant another state that has a need. When I heard about that need, the first thing I thought, I can supply that need, but it was a pretty big supply, a pretty big hunk. And I've been wrestling, knowing I should do it, but the first reflex was do it. And I know I've got to do it. And so I'm going to do it. I mean, it's going to cost me 75 cents, but I'm willing to do it. And, but you just say, look, you say, well, I never crossed the path of anybody that has a need. God knows you wouldn't do anything about it. I've told you many times. I pray at 6 o'clock every morning. Dear Lord, dear Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I pray the same thing. At noon, I pray the same thing. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I pray the same thing. At 6 o'clock at night, I pray the same thing. At 9 o'clock at night, I pray the same thing. Or as soon as I get home or back to my room after preaching, and before bedtime, I pray the same thing. 7 times a day, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. And if you want to think I'm bragging, go ahead. Say what you want to say. It doesn't make a difference to me. But I'm simply saying that I've tried for these years when I see a need to fill it if I can until by reflex I feel like it's my job to fill the need. And that's what you call living for others. By reflex. Why? You help others, 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 you help others. By reflex, you tell them to call Brother Hiles, don't you? But I'm simply saying that there are people within your ability to help who have need. And if you get to a place where, by reflex, in the subconscious, just like you put your hand out as you're driving down the street and as you jam the brake, just like you take a step, just like you tie your shoe, just like you put your shirt on or your coat on, just the same way, by reflex, you can be a person of use for others, but you're going to have to do it so much till you become the subconscious reflex. Same thing about being a friend. I'm a friend to my friends. And when it comes to friendship, I have character Christianity. So there you go bragging again. Say what you want to say. You're going to say it anyhow. But I'm simply saying that when it comes to being a friend, I'm a friend by reflex. I've said it often. If my friend is in a fight, I don't walk up and try to figure out who's right and who's wrong. I slug the other guy, knock him cold, and say to my friend, why did I do it? Why? Because that's friendship by reflex. That's Christianity by reflex. Somebody says to me something about someone else, by reflex, I'll say, it's not true, he didn't do it. It's not true. Accusation, it's not true. Accusation, it's not true. The word accusation or an accusation brings from my subconscious, it's not true. Accusation, it's not true. Accusation, it's not true. And my friend is in need, here I am. My friend is in need, here I am. My friend is in need, here I am. Let me tell you something. This old generation of selfishness, I, me, my, mine, we, ours, us, it knows nothing about friendship. I wish you'd decide in your soul that you're going to be a friend. Come hell or high water, you're going to be a friend to your friends. We need some loyalty in this generation. Loyalty to nation. Loyalty to country. Loyalty to friend. Loyalty to church. Matter of prayer. Prayer can become character Christianity. Have a need? Pray. Have a burden? Talk to God about it. Again, I say, in this matter of prayer, it's instinct for me. Instinct. All of a sudden I have a need? I pray. All of a sudden somebody has a need? I pray. Need? Prayer. Need? Prayer. Need? Prayer. Why? Because years ago, when I had a need or somebody had a need, I'd pray. I decided to pray, and then I decided to pray the next time, decided to pray the next time, decided to pray the next time, decided to pray the next time. That's why a lot of you students at Howells Anderson College are staying in trouble so much. You don't do right by reflex. You don't keep rules by reflex. You don't obey by reflex. I'm simply saying you're not going to be a good Christian till you have done right and 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 done right till right is the subconscious thing that you do. Same thing is true about praising God. I mean, praise the Lord. The other day I was hungry for some fish, broiled fish. I eat a lot of broiled fish, baked fish. I like fried fish, but I eat the other kind because I think I need it. So I eat broiled fish. I go down and get me a hamburger at McDonald's. But I really felt like I needed some baked fish. I really did. But it was on an airplane, and airplane never serves fish. They always serve chicken a la cotori or they got more stupid names for stuff. Every time they come by, you want some eggs a la Benedict? I said, ma'am, explain that to me. She said they're just scrambled eggs. But that day, she came by and she said, would you like to have some chicken a la King? Or would you like to have some baked halibut? And I said, well, praise God. She said, what was that, sir? I said, praise God. Now, what I should have said was, well, goody, goody. But that's not inside of me. Praise is on the inside. It's instinctively. Something good happens to me. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And by the way, that's when it won't be embarrassing to you. Because it'll be in the instinct so much until you just do it and do it and do it and do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And that's I was... same thing's true about loyalty. You shouldn't have to decide whether to be loyal to a friend. You shouldn't have to decide whether to be loyal to your nation. I'm an American, right or wrong. You say, that's blind loyalty. You couldn't have hit it any better. It's exactly what I believe in. Yeah, I'm an American. If Russia's right and we're wrong, I'll still knock Russia in the puss. I'm an American, right or wrong. I'm an American. Boy, I tell you something. I hope unto God that we got enough sense to keep Ollie North out of the penitentiary. Instinctively, I'm an American. When they play the national anthem, I jump up. When the flag raises, I jump up. It's instinctive. Matter of loyalty. Ought to be instinctive. Ought to be in the subconscious. Ought to be by reflex. In the first place, you don't have enough sense to know whether America's right or Russia's right. So, since this is where I was born, I'm a little sick and tired of these anti-American hippies and rebels and draft dodgers. Put them in jail. You say, oh, Brother Hiles, you think that's right? I don't know whether it's right or not. Just do it. Because I'm in America. Across the street over here a few years ago, some hippies decided to wash their car with the American flag. I organized a posse of men. We went over and captured the flag. Captured the flag. It's all I could do not to burn that art building down in Chicago when they're walking on the flag. I'm loyal. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm an American too, but sometimes America's wrong. Oh, hush. See, your loyalty's never gotten to reflex yet. It's never gotten like that. Push the brake, hand out. Push the brake, hand out. Same way about witnessing. Once you witness so often and witness so often, the other day, this is sort of changing the subject, but the other day, every Monday, I say, I live by schedule and my enjoyments are by schedule. For example, I eat a hot dog every Monday morning at the airport. Every Monday morning. It's a big rascal too. The best hot dogs in America are made at O'Hare Field. I was out in Farmington, New Mexico, little mud puddle airport out there. I walked up. One lady is working, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Chicago." She said, "Mail me a hot dog." Every Monday morning, I get a hot dog. I was a little late last Monday. Now, you won't believe this, but it's true. I got on the airplane. And I said, "Did I get my hot dog?" I was late to the plane. I said, "Did I get my hot dog?" Yep. Mustard on my finger. I had rushed down to the gate, gotten the hot dog. I was supposed to get the hot dog. It's God's will for my life. I'm not going to rebel. You want to rebel against God, go ahead. I'm not going to do it. Bible said that outside of heaven are dogs. I'm eating all I can before I get to heaven. It's just by reflex. I ate that stupid hot dog. Didn't even know I ate the hot dog. I was rushing down to catch the airplane, and the only way I knew, just wiped my mouth. Had mustard on my mouth. Now, my life is that way. I drink one milkshake a week. Same time. Every week. It's always vanilla. Same time, every week. One time a week, I eat a Dove bar. One time a week. It's that one time, it's all week. Just one long time. I eat one Dove bar a week. One Dove bar a week, that's all I eat. I look forward to it. If that particular time comes, I can't find a Dove bar, I find a Dove bar. I'll make one. I eat a Dove bar every week, every week. I pray by schedule. I read my Bible by schedule. I witness when I'm supposed to witness. And that's what you call character Christianity. And that's what some of you are lacking. Shall I go to church this morning or not? Shall I go to church tonight or not? Shall I come to church Wednesday night or not? Shall I read my Bible today or not? Shall I help somebody in need today or not? Shall I pray today or not? You shouldn't have to think about that. You ought to have yourself in such a reflex kind of a life with character Christianity where you do right. Why? Because you have a chance to do right. And that's the reason you shouldn't smoke your cigarette. And that's the reason you shouldn't take your liquor. And that's the reason you shouldn't listen to your rock music. Every time the rock music comes on, you ought to say, no, 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 no. Why? Because you said no so long. By reflex, you say no. America's going to hell because of a lack of character. And Christianity is dying because of a lack of character Christianity. Now then, here's what it does. We go back this morning to restraint. It makes the more things you can do by reflex, and the quicker you can do these things, the more you cut down that time of having to restrain. And the shorter you can make the period of restraint, the more likely you are not to do wrong. So, I said this morning, between the time that you want to get revenge, when you can get revenge, you restrain yourself and keep from getting revenge until you get a hold of yourself and your senses come back and you say, I don't want to get revenge now, then you won't get revenge. But the longer you've got to hold right there and restrain, the weaker you get. It's like a tug of war. The longer you hold, the harder it's going to be. And the more you do right in response to a certain stimulus, the more you do right in response to a certain temptation, the more you do right by schedule, by habit, by habit, by habit, by habit, the shorter amount of time you have to hold that restraint. You can get to the place to where you can hold your temper and not respond to something that makes you upset you by reflex. Look, you can get to the place to where silence comes after attack by reflex as much as getting mad and blowing off does now. You can let a soft answer turn away wrath. And a soft answer turn away wrath. And a soft answer turn away wrath. And a soft answer turn away wrath. Until when somebody gets mad at you or mistreats you or wrath comes your way, by reflex, you can give a soft answer just like now, like you do by reflex, you give an angry answer. Do you know that a little child by nature wants to fight back? I watch my grandchildren sometimes. They come over to my office after the service, and I have a dear brother that gives me some Cheez-Its every Sunday. And sometimes my grandchildren, Jacqueline and Kenny, they will eat some of those Cheez-Its, and I'll pour about half that box out there maybe. And Kenny will reach over and grab a bunch of them and pull them over here and hug them like that. And Jacqueline grabs hers and pulls it over here like that. And I grab mine and pull them over here like that. But then I realize Jack's cop's already gotten most of them. But that's by nature. Now look, when you as a child by nature are selfish, you are creating the habit of selfishness. And that's why when you get older, you want your way. Now, you've got to break that habit. Now, the way you break that habit is that matter of restraint. You restrain it. And then you say, you go first, and 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 you go first, until the subconscious reflex will be, you go first. Now, that's what character is. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, what's the easy way to get develop character? No easy way. You got to force yourself to do right, and 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 force yourself to do right, until it'll be the natural thing for you to do right. So do it. No magic wand. I can't wave a magic wand and say, hocus pocus, daddy hocus, and then temper gone. He said, Brother Hiles, I have a hard time getting up in the morning. How do I get up in the morning on time? He said, you get up in the morning on time? Yeah. Yeah. At 10:30 every morning. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I get up on time. Always do. On time. And you say, preacher, I have a hard time getting up. I do too. I don't wake up. I get resurrected from the dead every morning. Every morning. How do you do it? I've been doing it so long. I get up. Why? It's time to get up. Next time I get up, why? It's time to get up. Next time the alarm goes off, get up. Now when that alarm goes off, up. That alarm's talking to me. Get up! Up! I was out in Ohio preaching. I got in the car that they use. And a woman said to me, buckle your seatbelt. I was in that car by myself. I hate those recordings with a passion. But I buttoned my seatbelt. Why? Well, I grew up obeying the woman. You did the same thing. By instinct, when a woman said do something, I do it. She said, button, and I buttoned it. Now, personally, I'm not a seatbelt buckler. I know a fellow one time that seatbelt kept him in the car when the car was on fire, and he burned to death. Ruined most of his day. And he burned to death. I'm trying to find a place to tell a sad story and close, but I can't think of anything sad to say. If he hadn't had his seat belt buckled, he wouldn't have burned to death. He'd been killed when his head hit the pavement on when he fell out of the car. So for that reason, logic says I don't like to buckle seat belts. But every time I'd get in that car, all the time I'd not need him. This same old voice. Buckle your safety belt. I buckled my safety belt. I was on the airplane the other day. By the way, let me finish this one first. I came back home. I had buckled my safety belt so much on that thing. I got in my car and buckled my safety belt. Yeah. I was on the airplane not long ago. Listen, I've heard those stories. I've heard those little speeches over and over and over again. Please, you're in check the exit sign. There's one over each wing, and there's one at the front of the cabin, and one at the rear of the cabin. And your seat belt, your seat cushion, it can also be used for flotation. And you just take it and put your arms through it like that. If case, and of course, we're flying over the desert of California. Same speech all the time. If we lose oxygen, lose cabin pressure, right above your head there is an oxygen mask. It will fall down as soon as we lose cabin pressure. You take the oxygen mask and you put it over your face and pull it like that. Anybody would know to do that. I know the whole speech. I've heard it and heard it and heard it. I was on the airplane the other day.
I got a hold of a Jezebel for us, there it is. I don't listen to all that stuff. I've heard that I can make that speech better than she can. I've flown over 7 million miles on airplanes. I was reading the paper. All of a sudden, that stewardess was giving her speech, and all of a sudden, she said on the intercom, "Sir, put that paper down. Listen to me." The first time in my life, I knew how you feel. I thought about you and was glad you weren't there. Now, every time a female ever told me to put my paper down, I put my paper down. And I put my paper down. Hour and a half later, we're about to land. I said, "Ma'am, could I ask you a question?" She said, "What?" I said, "Can I read my paper now?" She said, "That's funny." She said, "You brought some cheer in my life. I want to get you something." She went and got a bottle of wine, brought it back, and gave it to me. That's the first time in my life I'd ever take. Anyway, I. But see, those things in my life, when my mama said, "Put the paper down," I put my paper down. They're in the reflex. Now, if you could ever, young people, young men, when the temptress comes to you, you think that Joseph, you think this is the way Joseph left his garments in Potiphar's wife's hands? You think she came and tempted him and he said, "Let me see." I said, "What am I supposed to do?" "Oh, yes, I'm supposed to run." By the time he thought of that, and she'd have had him. Somebody taught Joseph what to do. Somebody taught Joseph what to do. And Joseph did. It was in the reflex. She tempted him, grabbed his garment, he ran. That's what you ought to do. Temptation comes, you run. Chance comes to do right, it's in the reflex, in the character. It's a part of you, on the inside. Now I want to say it again, there's no easy way to get it. No easy way to get it. None. No. No. You get it? The backbone. You force yourself to get up on time. You force yourself to keep your appointments on time. I'll guarantee you, people here who are late to one thing are late to most everything. Why? Because it's not in the reflex. You force yourself to keep your appointments on time. You force yourself to pay your debts on time. I'll guarantee you, listen, the people in this room tonight, if you pay your debts 10 days late, and if a company wrote and said, you can just make payments every 60 days now instead of every 30, same payment, we want to be good to you, you'd still make your payment 3 days late. There are people in this room tonight, when you made $10,000 a year, you were always in financial trouble. Now you're making 50, you're still in financial trouble. Because you don't have the character to live within your means. And if you made $1 million a year, you'd still be in financial trouble. Why? Because it's not in the reflex. And you get it in the reflex. That's what character is. Do right! Do right! Do right! Old Dr. Bob used to say, do right! Do right! Do right! Do right! If the stars fall, do right! And that's why I thank God for the memory of my mother. That's why I thank God for the times that she held that little magazine up to me and had a whiskey advertisement. And she said, "Son, whiskey bad. Whiskey bad, whiskey bad, whiskey bad. Say it!" And I'd say, "Mama, whiskey bad, whiskey bad, whiskey bad, whiskey bad." My mother'd get a little fiendish look in her eye and she'd tear that newspaper ad to pieces and she'd throw it on the floor and stomp it and she'd say, "Bad whiskey, no, no, bad, no, you do it!" And I'd say, "Whiskey bad, whiskey bad, whiskey bad." And do you know, on the airplane sometime, if I'm thumbing through the magazine, I come to whiskey ad, I almost tear it up and get up in the aisle and jump up and down and stomp on it. It's in here.
And that's why you don't do right. And that's why, listen, that's why you may do right for 99 times and destroy your life on the 100th time. Because it's not in the character. It's your character to cheat on a paper. You cheat it so long, your eyes won't even look at your own paper and you take a test. I didn't, in school, I didn't do that. I didn't make an A because I cheated. I made an F because the fellow next to me was dumb. But it's in the instinct. It's in the subconscious to do wrong. Tell you a story and I'll quit. I finally thought of a sad story. The quicker you cry, the quicker we're going to get gone. I've told this to young people all across the nation. I've told it here at youth conference. I can hear him now. In Greek final examination. First year Greek junior in college. His name was Ray. I won't give his last name. Ray was the best preacher among the preacher boys in our college. Ray was a mature man. I mean, I don't mean older, much older than we were. He was about in his 20s, but Ray was somebody. Ray had talent, and Ray could preach. But I can hear him now. Hey, Jack. Move your arm. I've been preaching revivals and haven't had time to study for this final exam. Jack, move your arm. Be a friend. What he didn't know, if I move my arm, would help a bit. Be a friend, Jack. Be a friend. And the truth is, I was not a straight A student, but I made A's and B's in Greek. But he said, be a friend, Jack. Come on, be a friend. Move your arm. Like the hiss of a serpent. Jack. Hey, Jack. Jack. Move your arm, Jack. Be a friend. I've been preaching too much to study. Senior year. Last exam in college. Greek. Second year Greek. Ray sat behind me to the right here. Both years. Hey, Jack. Like the hiss of a serpent. Jack. Move your arm, Jack. Help me, Jack. Be a friend, Jack. 7 years passed. One Sunday afternoon, Ray came by to see me. I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. Ray came by to see me. Ray was a good preacher. And I wanted my folks to hear him. And I did something I've never done, I guess, in my life, except that one afternoon. I said, Ray, why don't you stay over and preach for me tonight? He said, I'll be glad to. We sit on the platform right here. This place and platform. During the offertory, I heard that same hiss I heard in Greek class. Hey, Jack. I didn't know I was going to preach tonight. Didn't bring any sermon outlines. You got any outline you can give me? Could I borrow a sermon outline, Jack? I can preach any outline you got. Same old hiss of a serpent. And I said, Ray, you won't be needing an outline. Because you're not preaching here tonight. I am. And yes, I have an outline. It's a sermon I was going to preach tonight. And I'm preaching it. And you're listening. Tonight, Ray is in the penitentiary and has been for years for embezzlement. You know why? It never got to his character. His character, why? Reflex. Now what you better do is you better break the shackles of wrong right now. And you better decide that you're going to have the grit and the guts in the guts to do what's right. And you keep on doing right. And one day, blessed be God, good will be as much a part of your